versatility. Being versatile as an artist is what we're going to talk about today. There's many benefits to being versatile, from enhancing problem-solving skills, providing personal fulfillment, staying fresh in your musicality, not getting bored. It can help an artist to succeed in a competitive industry and continue to grow and evolve their own skills over time. And there's just so many benefits to being a versatile musician. Mm. We're going to talk about some of them here today at Upright Citizens with my friend, great Ruben Rogers. What's up, Ruben?
How
you feeling?
What's up, my versatile friend, Mr. Bob
DeBoo? My versatile friend. Oh. We're both so versatile. We're bassists doing a podcast. Look at us go.
Hello.
It's amazing technology. No, but we're going to talk about, I'm really excited for this conversation, especially getting to speak to you, because I consider you such a versatile musician at the highest level. So I'm really eager to hear your thoughts on what we're going to talk about today. But what we're going to talk about specifically is the benefits and perhaps some of the anti-benefits. Help me with what word am I looking for here?
The non-benefits. I don't know.
The non-benefits. Yeah. Not linguists either, apparently. So some of the detractions of being versatile. So let's talk. Maybe let's start at on the positive foot, huh, Ruben?
What were some of the things as a youngster? Because we can draw from there first, right? Remember what you told about that, you know, when you were a youngster. I mean, you're still young.
Yeah, when I first started getting into the upright bass, I'd already been playing electric bass for a few years and drums before that. And as I picked up the upright bass, I had a great teacher that advised me to not stop practicing my electric, you know, and to keep growing and to keep developing on that instrument. And alongside the double bass, which is, man, that's the tallest order you could think of. That just learning how to play either instrument is, you know, a big endeavor. But I'm very grateful that I was advised to be able to play both upright and electric bass well. Mm-hmm. And so it just diversifies, you know, your options and your perspective. But I look towards like Christian McBride, John Patitucci, both very, very high level on both instruments. And, that kind of affected me from a young age to think about, I don't want to just be an upright bassist. Mm. I ended up getting kind of pigeonholed in that because I ended up doing more stuff on upright than electric, but that's maybe for further down the conversation. What about you, Ruben? Because I know you started on electric bass as well.
Well, I mean, my path to becoming versatile or trying to be versatile didn't come from obviously... from someone even telling me it was just a necessity, right? Or is expected, you know? Especially as far as in playing the electric or upright bass, I only had electric bass. I aspired to play the upright bass, but I didn't own one. And I was like, oh, maybe one day I'll play one, and when that comes, that comes. But I just love music. I love playing music.
That's it. I wanted to find too that at the moment we're talking about being versatile with our tools.
Right.
The instruments, the double bass, the electric bass.
So
these days, probably some synth bass, but there's many more elements to being versatile as a musician.
I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, as a youngster, I was like, I want the sky's the limit, you know? I mean, I would say that to this day. To this day, it's still like that in a way. But definitely the sky's the limit. I wanted to just jump into whatever it is, would it be. And of course, I started in the church. So groove-based music in the Caribbean, obviously groove-based music, clips and all that. But as I said, it became just a necessity to kind of just bob and weave through different things, especially once I left the island, right? There were so many things that I didn't know about, a lot of music, funk music, and a lot of other kind of music that I didn't know that I was kind of thrown in and people expected, like, oh, you don't know this? Oh, you need to know the speed fun. Oh, you don't know the meters? Oh, you need to know the meters. Mm-hmm. Oh, you don't know what Steely Dan? Who did Steely Dan? Oh, come on. Come on, man. What? So it was like, it was expected for me to know these things while I was playing electric or upright. Same thing. You don't know Hank Mobley? Oh, what? Come on. Oh, you don't know Charles Lloyd? Oh, come on. What? I was fortunate to be thrown into these different situations where I was expected to show up. You know, and that kind of broadened my horizons more and more and more as time went on until to this day.
We're talking about styles and genres.
Yes, styles and genres, just to be clear, right? And so it, as I said, it didn't, you said about being pigeonholed. Yes. As time went on, I started doing way more jazz things. And, but even in that, there's a lot of versatility, right? Different ways.
Yeah. I wanted to get there too.
You know, definitely. There's a lot of versatility, and depending on, you know, certain cats can call you if you let's just swing out. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's play some free stuff. I ain't got no chord changes on this. Oh, let's play some something seven.
Free,
let's play
fusion, Latin inspired music. And these days it's even exponential. I mean, these days you have to be as a versatile bassist on upright or electric, whatever the case may be, you have to be familiar with Dilla. You have to be familiar with like all kinds of different stuff. James Brown, of course.
Right.
You mentioned funk, but we bring that into the jazz, the jazz umbrella.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like there's so many styles involved in what we call jazz these days.
I mean, the main thing is what, Bob? To be versatile means you get more work, right?
Eh, there we go.
Mm-hmm. More opportunity. And now it depends where you are at your life. At that time, what I'm talking about, when I was, it didn't really matter. You know, if I was making a dollar, no, it did matter probably shortly after. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have any expenses. I had no kid. I had, I had no car. So it was like,
it's more the excitement of learning these new things.
Exactly.
Yeah? The joy of it. Yeah, definitely.
Right, you know?
Yeah.
And as you get older, as you get more experience, you're like, well, if I can do this and this and that, my bank account might be a little different now. So there's that benefit, right? That's probably the
would you say real.
The most real. Obvious reason. In this day and age,
I think so too.
As a working musician, as a working basis, can we agree on that?
You diversify your funds.
Hello.
Can't put it all in one place, right? You know,
right?
So you don't know what might pop off over here, and you find yourself in different circles. You're casting a wider net. You meet different people. You have different connections, and all of that is important to who we are and our perspective and our community. Do you know what I mean? If we're just staying right down one way, and and sticking strictly down a very narrow lane, that's, some people are into that. That's fine.
I think it's courageous. I think it's actually wonderful. Absolutely. Also, and there's plenty of musicians like that, and there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, right?
Definitely. But it's a choice. I think it should be an intentional choice. Mm-hmm. You don't want to just end up in there. So yeah, we're talking about some of the benefits, and there's much more that we could talk about, as far as even writing. Like composing music. Hello. If you're only listening to one genre all the time, it's going to sound like that perhaps. And that could also be very, very high level. I'm not saying I'm with you entirely on that. We make our choices and you do it to the best of your ability. But if your influences are ranging from like drum and bass music, the Cuban music all over, that's going to affect not just how we play, but how we write and how we interpret other things too. We can hear, having that diversity in what we've digested, by listening and just getting in and grooving and stuff like that. We also, when we hear modern musicians playing and drawing from those styles, you can hear that in the music too, which maybe is not so obvious if you've not been exposed to it or really swam in those waters.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying?
I like
Does that make sense?
I like swam in those waters. I like that. That's good. Yeah. That's really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dive right in. So now, let's talk about this. Not so obvious reason for maybe you wouldn't want to be versatile. So if you're a jack of all trades, the phrase, jack of all trades, master of none. And isn't it a shame?
Yeah, it's me.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I feel that way too. We have our strengths and we have things that we're working on. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That we know we want to work on.
We can call it weaknesses. So, we can call it weaknesses too.
I was trying to dance around it. Exactly. things we're working on. Let's do. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Weaknesses. So it's one thing to say, maybe that's, where you're going to draw the line. You do have to define your focus and you have to define your scope, because if you're really drawing from, a lot of disparate places, are you going to be able to really get in depth in one of those places? Do you know what I mean? It's, are we skimming? Are we not going as deep as possibly we possibly can if we're really, have that super wide net? So we're kind of flipping the script here a little bit. We're talking about why maybe this is not a good thing now.
So it just came to my mind as it happens when we're in this conversation. Hey,
I like it.
And this is my personal views. I'm going to throw this this lion out
here. This is Ruben Rogers speaking right now.
I look at, I kind of equate it a little bit about relationships. Actually, as a youngster, I'm like, I discourage a 19-year-old or a 20 or 21-year-old going down the, you know, the marriage, you know, path, mm-hmm. you know, to each his own. It's a choice, right? But I'm like, sure. you know what, just, why don't you wait just a little bit longer, experience mm-hmm. life, get your heart broken, break some hearts, and then you kind of figure out, oh, this is how I want to roll, or this is how, you know.
Yeah, you figure out your fit.
Yeah, how you know, how I want to be, what I'm looking for in a right. spouse or a mate or whatever it is, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. I kind of see it that way with music sometimes, you know what I mean? As I said, yeah. I'm drawing from my own experience. Like, boom, as a youngster, I was like, I was open to whatever. Like, mm-hmm. give me it. Because I all could fall flat on my face and be okay. You know what I mean? I can pick yes. myself up and be like, all right, no, yeah, that gig last night was not great because I really checked that stuff out, but I tried, you know?
Right, right.
As you get older, you don't quite want to fall on your face as much because it's harder to get up, right?
Right, and
physically, you know, and mentally, right?
Wait, and you have a reputation as well. You know, as you develop as an artist, people know right. and they know what to mm-hmm. to expect, particularly for, you know, right. more so with you, obviously, in this conversation. Right. People have heard you in a bunch of different situations, and right. Yeah, there's a little bit more on the line.
What and so I'm gonna. You know, as we like to do, we like to be vulnerable on yeah. and give our personal business up, put our personal business out yep. here. Like, there's a couple things for me. I realized early on, I was like, you know what? Maybe that's not going to be something I'm going to keep on looking for. First thing that comes to my mind was the slapping. I remember hearing Milt Hinton on this record, a couple records, but this one record with Branford Marsalis, he was slapping the mess out of the upright bass. Incredible yeah. technique. That was his thing, right?
And I remember, little words, right?
Huh?
Sorry? Is it three little words?
That's right. Three little
where he
words.
He does the slap solo.
Trio GP. Yep. Y'all check it out, right? Branford Marsalis, Jeff Tane Watts, and Milt Hinton takes his incredible solo. Later on, I start checked him out some more. I heard other solos of him doing that, right? Mm-hmm. But it's like, how is he doing that? Especially for that time, I couldn't see it, right? Maybe. I don't think yeah, I even have. Right. Have I seen it? I think I've seen it a little bit now, but. I couldn't even fathom, so I was trying to figure it out, and you know, and just doing just a poor job at trying to sound like Milt Hinton and whatever. Sure. And I probably would have got discouraged a little bit, but then I was like, why are you trying to do that? Just because to challenge yourself, or because you want to do that on a gig, or and I got to the point I was like, you know what? I'm gonna leave that for Milt Hinton, whoever else can do that, because I like to hear it, but I don't think I want to try and play like that. Another way of playing is probably more electric bass picking. I picked up the pick a few times in my life, tried to do it, even tried to practice with it, and realized I don't quite enjoy playing this way, and I'm gonna let that person who likes to play this way and sound good in it, I'll leave that to them. I won't be that guy that they call to play picked bass. Bye.
I mean, that's sometimes we hear, I'm thinking from my own perspective, like hearing Milt, maybe not so much, but hearing like a rock bassist play with a pick. Do you know what I mean? You listen to that and you're like, I could do that. No, you can't do that. You know what I mean? Like, it's way harder than you think. The Milt stuff, obviously, is just like, man, if he's doing that triple slapping, obviously, that's crazy. You know, there's a lot to that. But yeah, I absolutely. It's just like, do you really feel that? Do you really feel that style? Do you know what I mean? If you can take elements from all of this stuff and kind of blend it together, but is that really what you're trying to say? You know, I think there's a lot to that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And of course, I just touched on just a couple of things. We can keep on going, but we're just putting these little nuggets out there for, you know, for just some creative thought, right?
There's one more little last thing I wanted to kind of bring into the conversation too, is that it's 2024. You know, we are talking about, you know, slapping and playing bass and stuff like that, but there's also a lot of versatility that we need to have together on a business side and taking care of things. You know what I mean? These days, we have a lot of different skills that we need to develop. And I'm getting a little bit non-musical here, but it's important. Mm-hmm. Self-promotion, getting on social media, taking care of your websites, finding a publicist if you need to do that, you know, writing, composing, being comfortable in a club versus a studio versus an arena or whatever might be the case. You know, there's a lot on the versatility plate that we could converse about. So, but I think we hit on some good stuff already.
With that said, if we're here, I mean, I just was talking to a friend of mine who's a saxophone player who had a lot of momentum maybe 20 years ago. And he was just talking about how the scope of, you know, of trying to gain some momentum in this day and age is completely different. It's a completely different game. It's a completely different mindset. And yes, you have to have a lot more things together as, I guess, an independent artist to promote yourself. And you have to want to put in the time personally, especially as a creative artist, whether you have a team or not, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You have to really devote yourself in a certain kind of way that I don't know if you had to maybe 20, 25 years ago. You know what I mean? So
there's ups and downs because these days almost anybody can get out there.
Exactly.
You know, like you don't have to have management or people.
Exactly. Hyping, you know? So, you know, yeah. I said we're going a whole different route when we start talking about this. But, you know, keep that versatile hat on in anything you do, right?
Yeah, we're saying we're pro versatility here. Yes?
Yes.
But yes, absolutely.
Very much so. Very much so.
Definitely.
But also, you know your lane. If you need to stay in that for a minute, you know, that's okay also. That's all right, you know. But
with anything, I think balance. All about balance. Always goes back to the balance.
Hello. See, there you go again. Just you know, saying the right thing at the right time.
Mm-hmm. Upright citizens, thanks so much.
Peace. See ya. Peace. We out.